Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Pidilite Industries Limited Q2 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Percy Panthaki from IIFL Securities. Thank you, and over to you.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining in to this call. Pidilite has reported a very strong sales growth as markets have opened up post-COVID. In this relatively very high cost inflation environment, they have managed their margins also very well. Without further ado, I would like to pass on the call to Mr. Bharat Puri. From the management side, we have Mr. Bharat Puri, Managing Director, and Mr. Pradip Menon, CFO. They will take you through the result highlights, and then we'll open up for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Many thanks, Percy. Good evening, everybody. This is Pradip here. Strong sales. I'll start with a sort of opening set of commentary from our side, and then we can open up for Q&A. Strong sales volume and value growth was recorded as the business witnessed improved consumer demand environment due to accelerated vaccinations, reduced COVID infections, and increased mobility. Growth was broad-based across consumer and bazaar and B2B segments, as well as urban and rural geographies. Consumer and bazaar reported growth across all categories such as adhesives, construction chemicals, and DIY portfolio. B2B growth led by continued momentum in industrial activities. I'll begin with a summary of the financial performance for the quarter and half year ended 30th September 2021. On consolidated basis, net sales at rupees 2,613 crore for the quarter grew by 41%. Excluding the newly acquired Huntsman subsidiary, PAPL, it grew by 33%. This was led by 39.5% growth in C&B segment and 41.2% growth in B2B segment. Gross margins have contracted on account of sharp escalation and volatility in input costs. Material cost as a percentage to net sales is higher by 1,027 basis points versus same quarter last year and 375 basis points versus sequential quarter. Moderated price increases as well as sharp focus on operational efficiencies have helped us to maintain EBITDA margins in our historic range. EBITDA before non-operating income at rupees 550 crores grew by 7% over the same quarter last year. EBITDA for the half year ended stood at 907 crores and grew by 56% over the same period last year. On a like-to-like basis, EBITDA in Q2 declined by 2% and grew by 44% for the half year. Profit before tax and exceptional items at rupees 492 crores grew by 3% over the same quarter last year. PBT for the half year ended stood at 781 crores and grew by 53% over the same period last year. Moving on to standalone financial performance. Standalone net sales at 2,200 crores grew by 36% over the same quarter last year, with underlying sales volume and mix growth of 25%. This was driven by a 25% sales volume mix in consumer and bazaar segment and over 20% growth in sales and volume mix of B2B. Our key raw material, vinyl acetate monomers, procurement rates have increased over the month from $930 in previous year fiscal to $2,000 per metric ton in April. Temporary softening in VAM procurement rates were observed between July to August 2021, with a price range between $1,600-$1,750, still much higher than our previous fiscal year. Current rates are at increased levels of $2,300-$2,400 per metric ton. Quarter two VAM consumption rates were at $2,071 per metric ton, as against quarter 2 2021, that is last year, of $840 per metric ton, and quarter 1 2022, which is the previous quarter, which was $1,610 per metric ton. Material cost as a percentage to net sales for the quarter is higher by 1,102 basis points over the same quarter last year and 372 basis points versus sequential quarter. EBITDA before non-operating income at 479 crores grew by 1% over the same quarter last year. EBITDA for the half year stood at 787 crores and grew by 38% over the same period last year. PBT at 442 crores declined by 3% over the same quarter last year. And again, for the half year, it was 797 crores, grew by 50% over the last year. About subsidiary performance, overseas subsidiaries' modest revenue growth in Asia on the back of lockdown restrictions in many countries. Margins impacted on account of input cost inflation. And America's revenue declined on a higher previous year base. During the previous year, sales were higher on account of pent-up demand as well as benefits passed by the governments to consumers during COVID. Domestic subsidiaries in consumer and bazaar business returned to double-digit growth led by higher sales in premium products. Subsidiaries in B2B business have improved sequentially on account of recovery in real estate and construction chemical, construction-related activities. However, margin recovery will take longer due to unabated commodity inflation. Pidilite Adhesives Private Limited achieved sales of 135.5 crores for the quarter with EBITDA margins of 34.9%. Compared to previous quarter, margins have improved by 3.9% on account of price increases to mitigate persistent steep inflation in input costs. We have also started selling, distributing Araldite in rural areas using the benefit of wide Pidilite distribution network. Unabated commodity inflation and supply availability remains a significant challenge and would require continued focus. Going forward, we remain cautiously optimistic on continuing robust demand conditions. Our focus remains on driving consistent, profitable volume growth through investment in our brands, supply chain, and people. With that, we come to the opening section of the discussion, and I now hand it over back to the host for opening for Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Avi Mehta from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi team. Hi, Pradeep. Just had one question on essentially trying to understand the pricing, change in the, impact on gross margin. You highlighted that VAM has increased further from 2Q, but I would assume that the 10% realization growth that we are witnessing, some of it will continue to flow through. So could you help us, understand how to look at gross margins as we go forward and whether we need any further price increases? Thank you.
Yeah. Bharat, you want me to answer? Or
go ahead, Pradeep. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So I think, we've said in earlier calls as well, what we are seeing is a really an unprecedented situation. The prices are, it's not just 20-30%. It's like 2.5 times last year's prices. So obviously, in terms of pricing action, we have to take calibrated price increases and in a sensible manner so that demand doesn't get impacted. So we have continued to do that over the last almost, 8 to 9 months. And what you're seeing in the current quarter is the result of those actions. We have also been very obviously cautious on the way we manage our costs. And the fact that, we have a momentum on demand is also helping in overall managing the EBITDA margins. As you also know that our intent is to manage the overall margins in a range of 20 to 24%. And therefore, whatever action is required to ensure, which is required to be sort of to make sure that that range is maintained will be done. What we have done in the first half of this fiscal is broadly cover about 70% of the inflation through pricing. And as we see the further increases coming, I mean, it is not just VAM, you know. I mean, we just highlighted VAM as an example, but we have got, input cost increases across a range of raw materials. We are also seeing significant increase in freight. All of these will need to be factored in while doing the pricing. We just briefly talked about, the recently acquired subsidiary PAPL, where again, there is a huge amount of inflation coming through on account of epoxy. So we are doing the pricing category by category, product by product, with the intention to make sure that we pass on pricing in, sort of reasonable chunks without impacting demand, and overall cover at least 75% of inflation. And we are planning pricing in the market for products going forward as well if this, trend continues. Bharat, you want to supplement these points?
No, I think you put it pretty well. The basic stance, Avi, remains we will be conservative on pricing. We will take a hard look, pass off only 70-75% and wait, manage margin actively, because we believe that, passing on all price is also a dampener of demand.
Okay. So the way I should kind of look at it is, the focus would be on sustaining the demand rather than on, and meeting the margin in the 20 to 24% range, more at the lower end. Is that a fair understanding?
In the current situation, yes. It depends on how prices moderate, because it is also our belief that a large part of this is due to supply chain disruptions and not due to intrinsic demand having shot up. So we do believe it may take 3, 6, or 9 months before everything evens out. But we do, at least in the current circumstances, presume that there is more than adequate capacity, and therefore these kind of rates will only sustain if a lot of this capacity was to go off permanently.
Okay. So, and you said about 3 to 6 months. Is that the expectation? That's the only bit on input inflation coming off, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I would say more six rather than three.
More six. Okay, sir. Okay, I'll come back in the queue for any questions. Thank you very much, sir. Thanks a lot.
Welcome.
A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. I'd like to remind all participants, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Avnish Roy from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks and congrats on very good set of numbers. So my first question is on PAPL. When I compare a normal quarter, Q4 to Q2, the sales has increased from 109 crores to 135 crores, which is a good growth. Want to understand, is this largely price-led? You also mentioned good scale-up and rural areas you have expanded. So how is the current scale-up? If I say total opportunity, say 100, where are we in terms of reaching out to more distribution, more rural area? And second, when I see the margins, it's fairly stable in the PAPL. It's broadly 34% margin, so fairly stable. So will it be fair to say that here clearly pricing power is much higher, and so it's basically cross-subsidizing some of the other segments?
See, absolutely not cross-subsidizing any of the segments. Basically, here the price increases happened earlier and then have not, continued to go up. In fact, they have gone up in the last 1 month, but otherwise they haven't, and therefore the margin has remained a lot more stable. Whereas, given our large mix in the other places, there's been a lot more volatility in epoxy resin, and the number of raw materials is limited. Having said that, I would say the pricing power is probably the same between, therefore, our strong brands in the core Pidilite business or Araldite. As far as scope for growth is concerned, while I won't put a percentage for it, we still believe, Abneesh, that we've still got a long runway for growth, you know, in terms of using the Pidilite sales and marketing muscle to take it to the next level? We just started in some states, but we believe that, you know, we would treat Araldite as a category and not as a core category, though, you know, it is the leader, it has more than a 50% market share. The kind of growth rates we would want from it and push from it will be more what we look at from growth categories rather than from core categories.
That's useful. My second question is on your manufacturing capability. So currently you have got 26 domestic plants and 30 co-makers. So you are also putting up 12 new projects in India. If I compare your capacity expansion past few years versus, say, Asian Paints, Asian Paints has been a bit more aggressive in terms of creating new capacity, maybe because of tax benefits, etc. Is there any change in your thought process next 3-5 years, create more capacity upfront? Because your demand clearly is good. We are seeing real estate recovery. So if you could discuss in terms of capacity augmentation, what is the plan next 3-5 years? In the past, you have said 4-6% of sales in capex. Any change to that number?
See, again, my advice to you, Abdi, should be don't look at Asian Paints as a one-to-one, because all said and done, Asian Paints is 90% paint. In our case, we are across, you know, at least a minimum of 25 verticals, each of which is a distinct product line with distinct production facilities. And therefore, you know, the capex per ton and the way each looks at it, you know, because I'm familiar with that, is very different. I would say from a capacity perspective, our utilization of capacity vis-a-vis Asian Paints will be plus minus 5. It's not that, you know, we are at 90% capacity and they're at 60. We're at a similar level. We have drawn up our plans for the next 5 years, which is why we have all this plant expansion, and you will see some more. Our capex, you know, again, as I said, as we are going forward and growth improve, it may go from 4-6%, but we don't see it substantially increasing.
Sure. My last question. So if I see your gross margin pressure 1,000 bits, so whenever we see such a sharp inflation in raw material, in consumption, we see local and unorganized players lose market share. So if you could discuss across different segments, how much is the opportunity? Do you see good gains here happening? And have they also taken similar price hikes? Because for them, it becomes very difficult to manage the working capital and limited pricing power.
There is no doubt about the fact that we are gaining market share in situations like this. This is for two reasons. One is obviously our ability to manage supplies and manage prices is, you know, from a leverage point of view, far higher than theirs. And therefore, in a lot of cases, they tend to struggle and they will always have to follow our price rather, you know, they can't precede our price. And therefore, I would definitely believe that over actually the whole COVID period, we have consistently kept gaining share. Very difficult to put it in percentage points, but I would say that at an overall level, we would have gained market share in most of our core segments and in our growth categories, largely from the unorganized stroke, small stroke, regional players.
Okay, that's very helpful. That's all from me. Thanks a lot. All the best.
Welcome. Thanks, Amnish.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Krishna Sambamurthy from Motilal Oswal AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, Krishna. This is Krishna from Motilal Oswal Institutional Equities. Hi, Bharat. Hi, Pradeep. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. Bharat, my question is on the pioneer categories. We understand from various companies that scale up in the newer businesses has been affected by the volatile environment. Could you just highlight the progress on brands like CP, on Roff, 10X and Grupo Puma? Anything that has scaled up satisfactorily and where have you lagged?
Thanks, Krishna. Good to hear from you. I think that's a good question. See, there are two things. Actually, from a market perspective, the scale-up on a Roff, you know, the B2B business, so I'll first separate the two. Where it is B2C, Roff, 10X, Grupo Puma, these are more B2C. Where it is B2B, which is a CP, a Nina Perfect, it's different. The scale-up has been more difficult in B2B largely because B2B has taken a lot more time to come back. And, you know, it's only now that we've had one quarter and hopefully more quarters of normalcy. What has, however, got impacted in some of the pioneer categories like Roff or like Litokol actually is your capital plan because of all of the delays around, you know, A, first COVID, then shipping, etc. A lot of our projects are running, you know, 3 to 4 months late because of factors completely outside our control. But from a sales perspective, we're still continuing the scale-up. And, you know, for example, if you look at Litokol, it is, we've now tested across two large markets, established a success model. We've now got permission for our plant. The plant construction has started. So it's got a little delayed as a result of COVID. From a sales perspective,
we are unable to hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
So, do you want me to repeat the answer to the last this thing?
Yes, sir.
I think Bharat, you were talking about from a sales perspective, what's been the impact?
Yeah, from a sales perspective, we are making great progress. I think as the more distributed manufacturing happens, this will obviously improve sales and margins further. And that's in process. That's got a little delayed because of largely COVID and then the related shipping related, you know, the supply chain disruptions across the world.
Okay, understood. Thanks. Thanks, Bharat.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Jaykumar Doshi from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on other expenses. If I look at your other expenses in this quarter, it's almost flat as compared to September 2019 quarter, while, you know, on 2 year CAGR basis, your volume growth would be like more like 14-15%. And, you know, there is a related acquisition also that you've done. So I want to understand what are the steps you've taken and other than A&P cuts, which is understandable, that you've taken, and what should we think as a, you know, a normalized run rate of other expenses? You know.
Yeah.
So, Pradeep, you want to...
Yeah, I'll try and answer that, Bharat, you please supplement. So, you know, see, there are, when you look at other expenses, there are, you know, some components which actually vary with volume. You know, for example, certain expenses such as power, fuel, you know, that there is a variation with the production and the volumes that you operate in. But then there are certain other expenses like travel, you know, certain fixed costs where, you know, things don't necessarily vary with the kind of volumes that you're talking about. So travel is a classic one where, you know, of course, over a 2 year period, there has been a number of actions that we have taken in terms of digital connects with end users, etc. So some of those elements you are seeing coming through. The sustainability of this, you know, while you're seeing this in quarter two, because in quarter two or in quarter one, there were still certain restrictions on travel and so on and so forth. So how much of that will really sustain, you know, going forward is difficult to, you know, sort of even gather or even try to model. But suffice to say that there is some benefits which are creeping in because of the fact that certain fixed costs are not going to expand in the same proportion as the volume, and that scale benefits or productivity benefits is what you are seeing coming through. Again, very difficult to sort of model, you know, some of these things.
Understood. And would you be able to kind of give us some color in terms of what are your savings in terms of A&P spends or where it was as a percentage of sales? Normally it's in 3-4% range. What is the kind of...
Yeah. So typically we operate in that range. It varies by, you know, it varies, you know, in one quarter versus another. So, you know, suffice to say that as far as this quarter is concerned, we have operated at a range or in terms of absolute spend at a spend higher than last year in terms of growth. Maybe in similar lines as top line, we have invested behind our ANSP. But as a percentage of revenue, it has not really moved significantly higher. So that we will decide depending on how the various inflationary situation comes. So to answer your question, ANSP's grown in proportion to sales versus last year, but in terms of the percentage of revenue, not a significant movement versus last year, up.
Understood. Second question.
Just to add to what Pradeep said, Jay, what we also do is we don't manage ANSP on a quarter-wise basis. You would see it, based on, for example, construction seasons, et cetera, the marriage season, so on. And normally we also tend to avoid as much as possible advertising in the 1 month before Diwali, because that is the most crowded media environment. So over a period of time, actually, as we speak in quarter three, et cetera, you will see some new campaigns, et cetera, from us, which are part of the plan, because normally we find post-Diwali, actually new construction, et cetera, sees a boom, and that's a far better time to advertise than during the festive season.
Thank you. So the idea of asking was, see, normally, if you look at the historically, your other expenses has been in the range of 18-19% of sales. Now this quarter it is 14%, and I can understand that A&P cannot give you more than 100 basis point leverage. Travel cannot give you more than 50-70 basis point leverage. So there is a good 200 bips or 250 bips of cost savings that you've managed, which is very impressive. Part of it could be operating leverage and some of the fixed cost do not change much. But the idea of asking this question is, have you taken some hard decisions which has reduced your cost structure from a structural perspective, and when the environment normalizes, would you sort of settle at lower other expenses as a percentage of sales?
I would say a mix of both. Very difficult to say. Pradeep, you want to go?
As I explained upfront, I think there is a very big impact of the volume leverage you get in a P&L. Like if your volumes are growing or your values are growing by 35%, as I said, some of these costs don't grow in that same proportion, other than power, fuel, and some of those variable kind of expenses like freight and so on. So what you're seeing here is partly coming from the fact that we are able to do the same sales with similar spend like travel and so on and so forth. And in other cases, it is simply the fact that you're getting a benefit of the larger value, not that we're doing a deep cut in costs or structurally we're changing the costs. So that's really the answer, to your question.
Understood. Thanks. And a quick question, if I may, on demand. So see, we tend to compare Pidilite's growth, volume growth, as well as revenue growth with paint companies for the lack of, other comparable peer. And, our understanding is, at least my understanding is that, in a good real estate cycle, some of the categories that you operate in benefit from new construction, whereas paint as an industry depends more on repainting. And after many quarters, for the first time, we have seen that on a two-year CAGR basis, your growth is almost matching up with, the category leader in case of decorative paints. So from here on, as we think about the next 2-3 quarters, do you think we are at a point where, new constructions is driving, or is, the demand from that side of the that segment is fairly healthy, and your growth rate kind of should match with the paint category? I mean, is that a way to think about it? Or
see, I would advise you, Jay, not to think about it that way for two reasons. One is, paint is, as you have rightly said, more than two-thirds of the demand comes out of repainting rather than out of fresh construction. We have a little greater multiplier from fresh construction. The other thing is, we go across broader spectrum than paint, and therefore we don't tend to compare ourselves with paint. I mean, with due apologies, if you look at the paint companies over the last four quarters and you take out the volume that in a sense they have bought via putties and low price products, frankly, on premium products, our sales would, we don't operate on those segments at all in our part of the market. And largely because we find those, pure commodity, largely commodity segments. I think that while I know that there are no stiff or there are no easy comparators of Pidilite, largely because of its pioneer nature, I think comparing us with paint is in many ways a disadvantage to both, depending on the kind of quarter it is.
Understood. But do you see a better outlook for fresh construction cycle and the associated businesses than what you may have seen in the past 2, 3, 4 years?
See, there is no doubt about the fact that organized real estate has picked up in the last 6 months, and specifically in the last 3. Will individual housing starts with, you know, individual, what is called these, what we call IHBs, the independent housing units, will they also pick up the next 3 to 6 months? We'll see. But it does appear that, you know, the consumer's focus on home and getting the home to be A, upgraded, B, renovated, seems to be greater than it was prior to COVID.
That is helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then 1 on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardesi from Centrum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Bharat. Hi, Pradeep. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations. Just one quick question from the previous participant. The construction business is showing. But is that, if I extend the thought, are you really witnessing on ground? I'm not saying per se what is the growth in the month of October and early part of November. But are you seeing these factors are panning out for your business, especially into B2B part of the business?
First signs, yes, but too early to say. You know, a lot of this will get clear in the next 3 to 6 months on whether it's a longer-term secular trend. And because there's also, remember, a fair amount of pent-up demand, you know, as things have opened, whether it be tourism and therefore hotels and restaurants, shopping malls and, you know, shops in shopping malls. There has been a fair amount of pent-up demand that has also got fulfilled. So it will be good to see whether the new construction continues at the same rate over the next 6 months.
Okay. Okay. And my second and last question, if I take a cue from the quarter two numbers, there is a large amount of volume-led growth which has come, and you such a way alluded, saying that our demand has been very, very cautious, and that's why you are not aggressively taking price increase. That could be a good strategy. But is that understanding is correct, that at this point of time, the primary focus of the company is more on the volume-led growth, and then maybe later on, if demand stabilizes, we will take price increase, or whatever price increases has happened is yet to get implemented and seen full effect in the P&L?
We have always maintained that our focus is profitable volume-led growth. We want to operate within our margin bands as an organization, but focus strongly on volume growth, because when you are a leader in the category, you know, and we are leaders in pretty much most of the categories we operate in, then the thing that sticks the best is our ability to grow volume aggressively, because that in a sense, you know, helps us create categories and gives us greater leverage. I mean, the fact, if you look at this over a longer 10-year period and you see the improvement in our operating margins, one of the reasons is because the volumes and the leverage we now have is far greater than we had 5 years back and far greater than we had 10 years back.
Okay. So my last question, Bharat, on the waterproofing and construction chemical business. Although this, what we found from the trade, that this is last over 5-6 quarters is growing fast, but would you provide some qualitative comment why such a large growth, higher of 40-50%, which we are witnessing in the industry? Is that purely because of the old construction is coming up for refurbishment, or is it because the new demand which is really driving?
See, there are two things happening. One is, traditionally, the quality of construction in India has been poor and there has been little or no waterproofing. The fact even now is, in independent housing, it is only about 4 out of 10 homes that do any form of formal waterproofing. So therefore, you know, and if you look at waterproofing vis-a-vis, for example, paint, vis-a-vis other developing markets, I'm not talking of the US and the UK, but I'm talking of the Thailands and the Brazil, our waterproofing market is much, much smaller, which is why also you have so many people rushing to get into waterproofing, because everybody believes there is a scope, rightly so.
Absolutely.
The fact of the matter is that, yes, there is a large runway for growth. But it, you know, whenever you have to create categories, you have to do three things. You have to A, educate the consumer, B, you have to create a brand, and C, you have to provide service. And over the period, whoever does that best is going to, you know, continue to win, and hopefully we will continue to do that.
I completely agree. Hello.
Yeah.
Thank you, and all the best to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing comments.
Right. So, I just wanted to thank everybody for joining the call, and on behalf of the company and the management, just wanted to convey all the best wishes for the year ahead and belated Diwali greetings. Bharat, you want to say something?
Yeah, firstly, thank you all. Thank you all for being there. A very happy Diwali also to everybody on the call. You know, I thought I'll just spend 2 minutes mentioning a lot of time. We spend a lot of time on the hard numbers and what is the behind the numbers. A lot of the, you know, I'd like to spend 5 minutes on why we also believe in Pidilite, where we have momentum. The work that we have done, for example, in digital, the work that we have done in rural stroke emerging markets, the investment that we have made, obviously, in supply chain, and finally, the way we have managed the whole culture and people agenda. There are whole steps that I'm obviously not going to go into each of these. But one of the reasons why we believe as an organization we have momentum is that we are spending a lot more time strengthening the enablers and not just the numbers. And therefore, when we take a step back, whether it be the investment in supply chain, it be the investment in digital, there is probably a 1 hour presentation that we can do for you in digital, which is about how it is now carpenters, plumbers, masons are all digitally connected with us. They're actually now being educated digitally. Dealers, we've now got over 100,000 dealers actually ordering on our Pidilite Genie app, which does not involve either a salesman or anybody. The extent of our distributor computerization is now pretty much complete amongst large amounts of the population, and therefore it's all on auto-replenishment. The cultural piece around an organization that is, you know, a great place to work for, which is what we've been voted now on a regular basis. So there's a lot more happening beneath the surface in the enablers, which we are focusing on, which continuously keeps strengthening us and hopefully, you know, not directly, but actually enables the numbers a lot more. And at any point of time, I'd be happy to answer any questions or any observations on that. Pradeep, would you like to add anything?
No, Bharat, I think you've covered all the points. Yeah, we can. They will take any questions if there are. Yeah.
Perfect, fair.
Yeah, Percy here. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are. You may please go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple of questions from my side, a couple of data points actually. What's the quantum of price increase in Q2 this year versus Q2 last year?
Pradeep, you want to go there?
Yeah. No, I didn't get that. You're saying this year versus last year, is it?
Yeah, over the last 12 months.
Q2 versus
what is the price increase?
Yeah, so that's it's a bit of a sort of a difficult question to answer because, you know, it varies by category and by product. So suffice to say, as we said, that, you know, broadly we are covering up 70% of the inflation with the pricing that you're seeing. That's really the, it varies, and we have been taking pricing. Some of the B2B categories, for example, the pricing has been almost 100% of the inflation. Whereas in the case of some of the consumer and bazaar business, it's more a proportion of the pricing. So,
okay,
yeah.
Because what I'm trying to do is this 40% YOY growth. I just wanted to understand how much of it would be volume.
Okay, that way. Okay, that is clear enough. So if you look at, what we have published We have published a set of numbers where you said year on year the growth is essentially about 35%, and the average, the volume kind of growth which is sitting inside that is 25%.
Okay.
That is on a standalone.
Standalone. Same, I'm talking about standalone.
Probably the same proportion would exist on a consolidated basis also.
Yeah. Yes.
Understood. And one more question. I know there was already a question about CapEx, but if you could just give a guidance as to, in terms of rupees crore, how much of CapEx you would be doing in FY22 and FY23?
See, last year we spent close to almost 400 crores as a company on CapEx. I think that's a similar set of numbers that we would expect. Again, you know, as we said all the time, you know, it varies typically between somewhere between 4 to 6% of revenue. So that's the kind of number you can expect.
Okay. And one more, in terms of growth that you witnessed, and this is not just this quarter, but even, let's say, in normal times, I mean, over the last 5 years or so, how much difference would you have in between your growth in the large towns, let's say the top 20 cities versus rest of India? Is there a big difference in the growth, or it's almost at the same level?
I would say over the last 3 years or so, the growth in the small towns and rural would probably be 1.5 times that of the large towns.
And this is just because you are actually penetrating those areas and getting the growth from there, and that's what is driving the growth, right?
A, penetrating, and more importantly, in our categories, Percy, what you also have to do is educate. We've actually, ever since we created this division called Emerging India, which also has a whole demand-generating sales force, when you've done that, automatically, you know, therefore, the growth rates have gone up because you are doing a lot more work with users and consumers now in these towns, which you were not doing earlier. So it is not only distribution penetration, it is also obviously consumer penetration.
Right. And how much is the revenue split between these two, like your top 20 towns versus rest of India? What would be the revenue split currently?
I won't go to top 20. I'll say if what we define as, you know, rural versus the rest of India. Rural India tends to be close to 30. Rural and small town India tends to be 30%. 70% is the rest of India. But it's not 20 towns. It would probably be the top, I presume, 50 or 60 towns.
Okay. Okay. Understood. Yeah, that's all from me. I think, Janice, we can close the call now.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.